Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we speak with Ram Cherry, the CEO of Everi, on how his company has accomplished the merger of two diverse companies, Global Cash Access and Multimedia Games. At the height of last year's slot consolidation wave, one unusual purchase was announced. Global Cash Access, the industry's leading cash provider, bought Multimedia Games, the up-and-coming Austin, Texas slot company that had made a name for itself with a unique slot tournament concept, Tournevent. As the CEO of GCA, Ram Cherry had to build a new company from the ground up. He explains how he did it, what kind of corporate culture he is developing, and how his attention has been focused on the game side of the business, even though the bigger revenue generator is the cash transactions. He talks about how the company is going to move forward and what strategies it will employ to become a major supplier in the North American market. He spoke with me in his Las Vegas offices in October for the cover story of the December issue of GGB. Ram Cherry, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. We're here about a week after G2E. It's a pretty crazy show. How did you feel it went for you?
It was fantastic. It was a great industry unveiling of our new brand. Mm-hmm. We were excited to show it to the gaming world. We had a great position on the showroom floor, right. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud about the Everi brand and what it stands for today and what's going to mean tomorrow.
Well, it looked like every time I passed by, there was people jammed through your stand there.
Yeah, we were very pleased with the interest in the traffic, mm-hmm. and folks wanting to understand the value we bring to casino operators.
Great. Well, I want to go back to the beginning. I mean, we've talked about this before, but let's talk about the reasoning and the mission behind the acquisition of Multimedia Games by, at that time, GCA.
In its most recent years, Multimedia had a great story in that they almost had their doors closed and built a business from there. Mm-hmm. Relatively small market share. But some very interesting games, some great mm-hmm. technology, and most importantly, some fundamentally very talented people.
Right.
We knew that they needed to grow much beyond to keep on that same trajectory, mm-hmm. and our payments business provided a great footprint. So the idea is we're going to help them grow and help now what is now our Everi Games business grow mm-hmm. Through the vast footprint we have on the payment side of our business.
Great. Now, you decided to keep the game development in Austin, which is a very, very high-energy type of place, the headquarters down there. Tell us about the advantages, easy access to engineering talent and those kind of things.
It used to be a well-kept secret, but now everybody knows Austin's a huge hub for technology mm-hmm. talent. Specifically to our business, it's a hub for video game talent mm-hmm. in addition to what is our business, which is more traditional gaming talent.
Sure.
So it's a tremendous pool to pull from in terms of adjacencies and adjacent businesses. The cultural setup of the town and the industry there is very much to foster collaboration and creativity. So it's a competitive advantage for us relative to anybody else in the gaming space, and we mm-hmm. want to maintain that.
Great. Now, where will the manufacturing ultimately be located?
All our manufacturing is done in Austin.
Okay.
We've got a satellite here in Las Vegas that we leverage operationally for, mm-hmm. for a shipping benefit more than anything else and some efficiency, but everything we do is in Austin.
Okay. So have you gotten up to speed on the game design direction, and are there plans to kind of tweak that at the corporate level?
Yes, I mean, we have been very public and very transparent in our desire to expand the breadth of what we have in terms mm-hmm. of our gaming portfolio. So we've opened up studios in Chicago and Reno.
Okay.
We think they're both great in terms of getting talent both from the industry and organically through folks out of school, something Multimedia didn't have. Mm-hmm. So we're broadening and diversifying our base significantly.
Sure.
But, it starts and ends with what we have in Austin.
Sure, right.
The talent goes very deep. The pool is very deep, as it described, both industry and within our company. And the track record that the Austin team has in terms of coming up with innovations is really unparalleled.
Sure. Well, I saw some new games at your stand at G2E. Do you have plans to expand the game library even further than that, and formats and platforms as well?
We do. I mean, Tournevent, for as much publicity as we've had around it, mm-hmm. Is still very underpenetrated in the market.
Right.
A lot of people don't know or appreciate the distinction of having a social-type experience on a traditional slot floor.
Right.
So we're excited about what Tournevent can do for us going forward, and we're excited about continuing to look at that capability to come out with next-generation Tournevent, which mm-hmm. will come at some point in the future.
Okay. I actually was in Michigan
on my way out this year, and I stopped at Firekeepers Casino and Tournament was just arriving that day, and the level of excitement on the floor was definitely ramped up. You could feel it.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of folks are looking for a panacea from an operator's perspective. How do you attract millennials? A lot of discussion about skill-based games.
Right.
We're trying to hit it, you know, a little bit more tactically in a little smaller chunks. Mm-hmm. I mean, fundamentally, Tournament represents a social experience on the gaming floor, and so we're looking to a few more innovations like that that will help operators draw in a different crowd.
Sure, sure. Now, we've seen continued reliance on and success from proprietary brands and original game concepts from every. Can you explain your philosophy with respect to branded licenses?
Yeah, multimedia philosophically was opposed to it. Again, given the history I described,
right, sure.
They didn't really have the resources, the size or scale to afford licensed content or make that economically viable.
Mm-hmm.
For us, I mean, we intend to be a major player. You can tell that from our presence on the show floor a couple weeks ago. And to do that, we believe we need to play in that space. We're going to be different. We're going to be very targeted and very specific. There are a couple of marquee brands, if you will, that we're focused on acquiring. So we will play in that space, unlike multimedia, but not in a huge way.
Okay. You mentioned skill games. That was the big talk at G2E. Frankly, I didn't really see anything that really blew my socks off. But are you guys planning to get into that field?
We're watching very closely, like a lot of folks in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
There are aspects of some of our game development that are going to include maybe perceived skill or dynamics that would lead themselves to skill, even though they're not really skill-based.
Right.
I think for me personally, I struggle with the operator's ability to monetize some of those things. And of course, not going to make sense for us to get into if the operators can't make money doing it.
Now, and you know, the other thing that was the big discussion, another thing you just mentioned was millennials. What kind of slot products are you guys thinking about that could attract millennials, you know, here and in the future?
Well, slot play traditionally attracts an older demographic, and if you look at the profile across North America of that demographic, we don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. I think, you know, attracting millennials and bringing them onto the casino floor, especially towards slot play, is really an incremental opportunity as opposed to a replacement opportunity. Now, that may change 20 years plus down the road, but right now our mission is to create an innovative, distinctive opportunity for the traditional slot player to go onto a floor and enjoy that experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Explain the evolution then of Tournament. You know, I know this year you ramped it up. You had two buses going on each side of the country through the Midwest and in all parts of the country. I know, you know, there's some thought about possibly doing it internationally. What's the next step for Tournament?
Yeah, our national Tournament of Champions, this is the third year we did it, was bigger than ever. We gave away $1 million top prize. The production, the receptivity was really unparalleled. Mm-hmm. Tremendous amount of energy for our event at the Wynn that was hosted there at the XS. We had over 200,000 people participate in all the qualifying events that led up to the ultimate Tournament of Champions. So again, in terms of participation across the country in casino environments, that was unparalleled. We have extended it beyond U.S. borders. Next year will be in Canada. Even this year we had an extension into Peru. Okay. As a company, our mission is not necessarily to be that global. We're very targeted internationally.
Right.
But just showing how much draw across different countries and different cultures, frankly, the Tournament product and that experience resonates.
Okay. And how do the casinos use this event to really promote it? I mean, is it kind of uneven, or do you go in there with a suggestion, this is what you guys should do to bring the players in?
The casino operators who are most successful are the ones that follow our recommendations to the T.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it draws tons of people into a casino. It can turn a Tuesday night in the middle of a week, in the middle of summer, into a New Year's Eve in terms of volume.
Mm-hmm.
That's clearly a draw. It also can introduce players who might not be typical slot players to the slot machine. So the age range of our finalists in the Tournament of Champions were as old as 88, which a lot of people would expect, but as young as 21, which people wouldn't expect.
Right. And I guess the staff that goes along in those buses, they're all trained about how to ramp up the excitement and to get the people involved?
They are. We have a very talented and very dedicated team that knows how to put on a turn event and do it successfully.
Okay. One of the attractions of multimedia, of course, was its success in Class 2 gaming. Do you see your Class 2 and Class 3 product libraries kind of merging at some point?
We're in some ways going the other way in that we think in order to develop the best performing Class 2 game that you need to have a dedicated studio environment. Again, something multimedia tried to leverage their studios across both Class 2 and Class 3. we are having a dedicated focus in some of our studios for Class 2 and Class 3 because we think organically to develop a game that's most successful, you need to have that separation. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason we're investing so much and broadening our capabilities so much is because we could have that focus across the two areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Dave Lucchese is running the multimedia side of the company.
Dave Lucchese has relocated to Austin, and he's running our games division.
Okay. What are some of your midterm to long term goals with multimedia with that side of the company?
Yeah, with the games business, again, we have a very, very small share of the market, less than 2% of the market in North America, so there's a lot of room for us to grow. Mm-hmm. I think when people look at our company overall, but specifically our games business, to be a growth story in the current gaming macro environment is very unique, but mm-hmm. that's who we are.
Sure.
We intend to grow, and we've been doing so on a year-over-year basis pretty consistently, mm-hmm. and we expect that trajectory to only improve.
Okay. And one of the benefits of the merger with Multimedia was the fact that GCA now, of course, is licensed in many more jurisdictions than Multimedia ever was. Has that process been smoothed over now that you're getting into all the other jurisdictions?
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, we closed the Multimedia transaction record time in about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's logical for someone like me from outside the space to assume that we could clear jurisdictional license hurdles equally quickly. That hasn't happened, so there's mm-hmm. been a sufficient delay there. But as we enter the first half of next year, we think we'll have those jurisdictional licenses and enjoy mm-hmm. the opportunities in those.
Okay, great. Let's turn to the other side of the business. As GCA, Every was really kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the market. You guys had huge market share, but now it's really that side of the business is getting a lot of competitors. I noticed at the show there were at least a dozen cash processing payment processing companies there. What are you doing to kind of stay ahead of that curve?
Well, again, over the period of many years, we've enjoyed significant scale, and the mm-hmm. thing that scale allows us to do. We're not a generic payments processor. We are specific to gaming.
Right.
And because we have that gaming focus and the mm-hmm. scale, we can invest in our capabilities like no one else can. So
right.
if you look at things that might have a competitive alternative, like our kiosk, mm-hmm. Kiosk product or our core right. cash access products, they have more technology, more innovation, and more patent-protected functionality than anybody in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then that allows us to further into innovation. So we've got several things in the mobile space, our mobile wallet.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of innovations that will represent the next generation of what casinos will be able to use on their floor.
Right. I think that mobile is very important these days, especially when you see the Apple Pay thing that you have on your phone and those kind of things. Is that kind of the road that you're going down at this point?
I mean, we have three distinct capabilities, two on the payment side and one on the game side. Our Cash Club wallet, our Every Ticket, which is a ticket functionality that comes, mm-hmm. right at the table.
Sure.
And then on the game side, we have something called Every Bet that allows denominations to be changed by the operator
mm-hmm.
With games that have that functionality. Just show some innovations that we have in the space that are they're technology-based that nobody else really has.
Right. Well, I know there's been a lot of movement toward, years ago when ticket-in, ticket-out came through, it took a while for that to get set. And now there's a lot of movement toward just putting the cash on a card, on your player's card, and using that. And I know there's compliance issues in certain jurisdictions about that, but are you kind of perfecting how you're going to attract that market there?
Making sure to emphasize the fact that cash and traditional cash access tools like cards are something mm-hmm. we're going to support and continue to support.
Right.
With the advent of EMV this fall, we're going to be able to stand behind those EMV-enabled transactions. That all being said, I mean, we think at some point the card may not be the preferred alternative, but it'll be the mobile device. So we're mm-hmm. out in front of that, we're ahead of that, and we understand that at some point people will use their mobile device as a wallet.
Okay, great. Now, I know you got to have your relationships with banks. Do you have a preferred bank, or do you use several different ones?
Every is considered the merchant of record for our payments business.
Mm-hmm.
So this extends to each property that uses our services, and for that reason, Every's only required to work with our own sponsored bank and not required to work with each of the property's preferred banks.
Okay, so you have one bank that you work with then?
Yes.
Okay, great. The role of cash machines in casinos has been somewhat controversial. A lot of jurisdictions had pressure to move them off the casino floor, and I don't know how much that's happened, but what percentage of GCA's business do they account for, or Every's business?
Yeah, Every's placement of ATMs and kiosks, which offer ATM services, is still very central to our core payment strategy. Each year, Every completes, you know, roughly $70 million of transactions, ATM transactions, dispensing about $15 billion in cash. So for a lot of casino operators, that's as much as 50 to 70% of their drop. That's right. The lifeblood of the casino. And our cash machines are critical to the way casinos operate today. There would have to be some fundamental shift in the philosophy of how casino operates for that not to be the core of our business.
Okay. Let's talk about Central Credit. You know, that's always been an interesting organization that's passed through various owners until you guys picked it up. How much do casinos depend on the information that Central Credit provides when they extend credit to their customers?
Yeah, to your point, Central Credit allows casinos that issue markers to share information with each other related to marker lines that are issued, markers issued, and outstanding markers. So operators are also able to request credit reports and validate bank information through Central Credit. So Central Credit's been a tool that's been around for many, many decades,
right.
Acquired by GCA about 15 years ago. And again, it may be behind the scenes and somewhat back office, but it's very, very key and central to how a casino operates.
I mean, if you don't know what your player, what this player's background is, you can just go to Central Credit and find it out.
That's right.
Right, okay. Compliance is a big issue, a really increasing issue these days with the emphasis on money laundering and things of that nature. How does GCA support compliance and assist the casinos in ensuring that all the reports are issued to the appropriate agencies?
Yeah, every compliance offers a suite of solutions that nobody in the industry has. Mm-hmm. I mean, we help inside the cage functionality relative to your point,
right.
AML. And tax filing requirements. We've picked up a lot of different capabilities through small acquisitions, and we automate that functionality through software in a way nobody else does. So we've only scratched the surface in terms of market penetration, a huge focus for us by virtue of the fact we label it every compliance shows that we have multifunction capability that we intend to see very significantly on Casino Forwards going forward.
Okay. One of the things that's come out within the last year has been the proposed FinCEN regulation that reporting of jackpots actually decrease, which of course would put a lot of stress on the casinos. I understand you have a suite of products though that would cover that if that was the case.
Yeah, Every is a member of the AGA, the American Gaming Association, and we have a seat with the working group within that. Within that organization that represents the casino industry relative to FinCEN. So it allows us to keep up with the ever-changing regulatory landscape and adapt accordingly to just make sure that we're in compliance with our casino customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So through the AGA, you're in contact with FinCEN?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Internationally, Every is active in 30 countries around the world, you know, through the GCA products. How do you stay ahead of all these regulations and requirements in all these different countries?
Yeah, it's important to note we don't move cash of mm-hmm. patrons between countries across international
okay.
borders. Our Cash Club wallet product is U.S. only at the
mm-hmm.
moment. So, yes, we need to be very mindful of what regulations are in each of those jurisdictions
mm-hmm.
because they're different in each jurisdiction.
Sure, right.
But our focus is primarily U.S., primarily North America, and we're in line there.
Okay. Are you looking, however, to extend that to the international market?
On a selective basis. So from a cash access perspective, we have a very, very significant presence in the U.K.
Okay.
And if there are markets like that where we think we're in command of the regulatory requirements and that our products and services will get traction in that market, then we'll go into that market, but we're not trying to be a generic global player.
Okay. Online gaming in the U.S. is a brand new industry, basically, gotten off to kind of a slow start. But do you have an approach or a philosophy about entering that market?
Well, I'm of the opinion, and that's what our company shares philosophically, is that online real money gaming in the U.S. is many, many years away. It's going to take a regulatory push, an endorsement, if you will, from the federal government until we think it's several years away. There's no question, because of our command of the regulatory requirements in the payment space and our investments in technology, that we'll be best prepared to enable those kind of transactions in that segment of the business when it takes off.
Mm-hmm.
To the extent that there are certain jurisdictions that have legalized online wagering in some form, we participate in that. not a big driver for our business, and not until it really takes off overall. But we're well positioned, but we don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Okay. So you're not participating in these negotiations with the credit card companies that to have payments being accepted online for gambling, the changing of the codes and things of that nature?
We are involved in those discussions. Okay. As a payments processor in the space, we have to be.
Sure.
I don't know that we're driving those discussions, but we're in the middle of them for sure.
Okay, great. All right, just one more question. When you're going forward, what kind of attention are you paying to the game side versus the cash side of the business, which is taking up more of your time right now?
For me personally, it's the game side of the business, but I don't want to misrepresent and think that we don't have equal attention to both. Mm-hmm. I might be different than a Dave Lucchese, for example, because I'm new to the slot side of the business.
Right.
In David's case, he spent his whole career on that side of the business, so
right.
it's not new for him. For me, there's still a significant learning curve.
Okay.
So I would say more than half of my time is spent on games.
Okay. And going forward, what would you see the development of the company? Do you see the game side developing quicker and catching up to the cash side, or is there other ways that you see the company developing?
Well, from a market share perspective, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for the games share of the market
right.
to ever approach the payments
right.
Market share, which okay. we enjoy. I think the growth in the company will come primarily from games, but I want people to understand that we are also a payments provider. We're mm-hmm. the only provider that provides both payments and games functionality. So we are intending to transform this casino floor, and ultimately that'll lead us to grow the payments business as well.
Great. Well, Ron, very exciting time for the company. The merger of the two different businesses must be very, very exciting for you to put together and building the corporate culture as well. What do you see happening in that area in terms of putting them all together and that everybody being on the same page?
Yeah, the rebranding, however difficult and however expensive in the short term, mm-hmm. Has already paid off for
yeah.
us in that every employee can rally around the Every umbrella. We have transparency and clarity with our solutions in every games,
mm-hmm.
every payments, and every compliance to attach our brand to the unique solutions that we offer in the market. And it's clearly, from a cultural perspective, brought us together as one company. That all being said, we got different cultures driving the success in our payments and games businesses, and they're still going to maintain that individuality.
Great. Well, thanks for the time. It's great to see you, and congratulations on the G2E presence. It certainly was exciting to see everybody in your booth and playing all those games.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. If you want to read more about this issue or any issue in the gaming industry, read our magazine, GGB Magazine, or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, subscribe to GGB News. For more information, visit ggbnews.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.